Good morning, everybody. It's another wonderful time, you know, gathered together, gathered by your device, whatever it is, to listen to God's word. It is a privilege. I take it as a privilege to be sharing this at this time. And I know that God is in it. I know that God has prepared your heart to receive this at this time. You know, I just feel tempted to lead us through a session of prayers and thanksgiving unto God. You know, in spite of all that is happening, we are still standing. In spite of all that is going on, hope is still alive in our hearts and we are still doing well. I know that God is with us. God is for us, and He will never leave us nor forsake us. I believe I have this word for someone in particular, or maybe a few of us, that I should draw close, take it up with God, take up the challenge or the walk with God, and you see Him manifest Himself and do beyond what your mind can imagine. You know, some of us are just afraid to take that step, and God is with you. You know, this is what God will have you do. Take the step, allow Him lead you, be confident and trust Him to do what He can do, or what only He chooses to do. Just let go and let God. I also feel impressed that we should raise a prayer for Mrs. Ajadi. I'm sure and I'm confident that God is doing something in her. Do not draw back, do not feel weary or tired. God is in it. God will do for you what only He can do. Keep trusting, keep assuring. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So this morning we are starting a new topic, a new line of topic, a new series, still on our faith in action, but this time we're going on to talk about work. Work. W-O-R-K, work. Faith in action, work. Amen. Hallelujah. So my topic this morning, I have titled The Concept of Work. The Concept of Work. Hallelujah. I think I'd just like to read the first portion of the Bible. Don't know if we could take that as a as our text this morning. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." Verse 3, I believe, says, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light." I'll stop there this morning. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we give you honor and praise. I thank you for what you are doing in the lives of your children. I know that much more than they see, much more than they know and understand, you are working actively in their lives. There's an active participation beyond their physical presence and understanding. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you are doing with them, for ways that you are opening or creating for them, for things that you are doing. Lord God, we are grateful that you never leave us to ourselves. Lord God, I pray as we go on in your word this morning, that every heart will be open to receive with meekness what you have for them this morning. I pray, O God, that the reality of the blessing of work will be open to every mind, and we receive it, and we live by it, and commit to work by faith. Thank you, glorious God. Thank you, everlasting Father. King of glory, we honor you. We praise your name. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. So the scripture we read shows to us that the Bible's first introduction of God was true work. Hallelujah. That is, was that God walked. It says, in the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The scripture's first introduction of God, or the scripture's first active introduction of God, that is, what God did, was that He walked, He created. He created. And you know, it goes further to help us to see that, you know, it was dark, the situation was dark and all that, and God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2 going forward now gives us, you know, some further details of the things that He did. It says, then God said, let there be light, which was the first thing. He created something. He walked. We know that He counted it as work, because towards the end of the narration it says, and after God had done all that, He saw that it was good, and on the seventh day He rested from His work. So the first introduction of what we see God doing was that He walked. Hallelujah. The second point I would want to note is in Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, verse 8, I believe, it says, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. Hallelujah. And there He put the man whom He had formed. So we see that after God had created everything and created man, and He put him in the garden of Eden, that He should tend it, that He should tend it. So we would be able to say that the first responsibility God gives to man is work. His work. Even before woman came to the scene, before the woman came on board, God gave man work, a duty to work, to tend the garden, to look after the garden, to stand, you know, in the position of a manager of what He had created. Hallelujah. So the first responsibility that God will give man was that he should walk. Hallelujah. The third point I'll quickly make, Genesis chapter 4. This was after Cain had killed Abel. You know, Bible talks about how, you know, he left and he ran, you know, being afraid and all that, and he went to establish a community. Genesis chapter 4, verse, I read from verse 20. I want to read 20. It's giving us an idea of how Cain established a community. Let me read from 19. It says, then Lamech took for himself two wives. Now, if you go further to verse 16, it's giving us a description of the family of Cain. It says, then Lamech took, can read from the top. Lamech took for himself two wives. The name of one was Ada, and the name of the second was Zillah. And Ada bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. Note that he was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. 21 says, his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the harp and flute. And as for Zillah, she also bore to Baal Cain. an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Then Lamech said to his wives, let's just leave that there. The portion of scripture we just read shows to us how men began to specialize in different skills and trade. Talks about how one was the father of those who dwelt in tents and kept animals, you know, more like an herdsman. The second one was one who played the harp, more like entertainment. And the third, you know, it was described as an instructor of craftsmen. He was a craftsman, but this time he took on the position of being an instructor. You know, so the place of work has been from time. It's not something new. Even before the course and after the course, work has been. Specializing in a particular work and all that has been from time immemorial, that is, from the beginning, from the very first time. God would first introduce work to us by actively doing it and giving us a pattern of how we ought to do it. Then we see it being recreated or being recreated in the lives of men from time immemorial, such that it is important we recognize the place of work. So on that note, I'll just run through a number of points I've tried to highlight as that we can embrace to showcase the concept of work. Work is important in the life of every believer. So we see that it is important that we embrace and understand this thing called work, because in the lives of some or many, there has been a lot of misunderstanding about work. So we must understand the concept of work and embrace it as so that we can maximize the best of whatever work that is set before us to do. Amen. So the first point I want to give is that work is an integral part of man. Work is an integral part of man. Better so, let me extend it by saying work is an integral part of the believer, but in reality, work is an integral part of every man. Man, generic, not just man as the male gender. So we must embrace it as a blessing and not a curse, because it is integral. Every man who embraces a work, there is a sense of purpose that comes with it when you're working. If you see a man who is out of job, who is not actively doing something, it feels irrelevant, it feels like a mess, it feels useless. Work is an integral part of man, so it must be embraced as a blessing and not a curse. We must commit to it as what God gave humanity to derive purpose and fulfillment from. We must commit to work, so when we have an opportunity to work, we must commit to it as what God gave humanity. God modeled it. Man embraced it, or God even gave man as the first responsibility in his life. Work before the enjoyment. Work. So it's not a curse. Work is not a curse. Many people have said that work actually started, or you know, it became a curse because Adam sinned and God cursed the ground and all that. But the concept and the idea of work has been before Adam sinned, because that was the thing God introduced before he even said, you know, he just put him in the garden and would have him to tend it. So work is not a curse. It may not be suited for you, but it is not a curse. You may not be enjoying it, so to say. It is not a curse. It might be very hard, difficult, tedious, and all that. Work should never be taken or seen as a curse. That's the first line of submission you must adjust in your mind if you're going to accept work as what you as what you do by faith. Work is not a curse. So you must demystify the idea from your mind and vocabulary in order to have the right approach and attitude towards it always. If you are going to have the right attitude and approach towards work always, then you must remove that idea from your mind that work is a curse.